Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, as you just heard, courtesy of Chayo Cervases. I'm Al Martin, your host. On this Friday, June 30th, 2017, we are rolling you right into the July 4th weekend. Really can't believe it's already the July 4th weekend. July 4th, of course, will be on a Tuesday. So many folks are actually taking that Monday and Tuesday off. So many folks enjoying a four-day weekend coming up. And this is supposed to be the busiest travel weekend of the year. How crazy is that, right? So if anyone is out there hitting the road, first off, I want to say thank you for listening right now in your car. But if you are hitting the road, no matter what your form of transportation, please be safe. Have fun. Shout out to your family and friends. We will actually be rolling in two best of shows on Monday and Tuesday. So this is our final live show until next week, Wednesday. So let's end the week with a bang, shall we? On today's current sports, we have a loaded show, as we customarily do. We will have coverage from last night's Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Desmond Ferguson, who is the founder of Moneyball Sportswear, he sponsors the event, and it features so many great athletes on the hardwood at various levels, from high school, college, even up to the pros. We were there for the opening evening of the Moneyball Summer League at Aim High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan. Got a chance to witness, of course, Miles Bridges throwing down crazy dunk after crazy dunk. And when we walked into the building, actually, we saw Nick Ward going off for a bit. And you never know who you are going to run into at these things. And as I was sitting in the crowd, we actually saw Aaron Harris, whose senior year was cut short as he suffered a season-ending knee injury last year. He's still recovering. Got a chance to catch up with Aaron. Also chatted with Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Nairn Jr. Tum, the clear leader of the Michigan State men's basketball squad since he actually walked onto this campus. Tum, a dear friend of the show, he also gave us a few moments of his time after his team, Green, suffered a loss last night. And Tum will talk about what he is working on throughout the offseason. So you get to hear the voices of Lou Rawls, Tum-Tum Nairn Jr., as well as Aaron Harris. And we will discuss a very intriguing story coming out of the world of high school and college basketball. As a family member of a pretty big high school boys basketball recruit has decided to out his brother, his little brother, for receiving improper gifts. I kid you not, folks. I can't make this stuff up. It is Friday, and as you guys know, each and every Friday, we love to roll in the swap meet with James Moore, former MSU football great and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. James with another compelling story for you all. You don't want to miss it. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about John Calipari, his name rumored to be in the hat to possibly be team president of the New York Knicks, even though Coach Cal has denied it, denied it, and denied it. We'll talk about that, and we will reflect with Reflection Friday. All of that and more. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports, where we are currently live streaming the show, and even tweet us at WKAR_sports and at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with MSU football news. 2018 recruit Jahvez Alexander from Ohio, who was actually playing quarterback in high school, has committed to actually play wide receiver for the MSU football team. Alexander sits at 6'2", 195 pounds. He is a quarterback for Sandusky High School in the OH. He told 247 Sports this week that his other scholarship offers were all to play QB before Michigan State offered him as a wide receiver. Michigan State now has 12 commitments in its 2018 recruiting class. Eight of those players are from Ohio. That's Mark D'Antonio's old stomping grounds, actually. All right, the MSU hockey team will play Minnesota at Madison Square Garden on January 20th. Mark your calendars. That will be a conference play matchup as part of MSU's schedule release yesterday. The game is part of the Big Ten Super Saturday series, which debuted last year with Michigan and Penn State playing a basketball and hockey doubleheader at the legendary arena. Right now, Isaac is out. He's actually taking his vacation early, our regular engineer, Isaac Constance. And right now we have current sports PA and engineer, my man, Jacob Herbert, who is a huge hockey fan. I just want to get your immediate reaction from this story, Jacob. How fun is this? Michigan State in Minnesota at Madison Square Garden in January. That's pretty, I feel like that's a big deal when trying to grow college hockey.
Oh, absolutely. I was just about to say that. You took the words right out of my mouth. But, I mean, Madison Square Garden is such a legendary arena, as you mentioned there in the headliners. And it's going to be great to grow, I mean, not only college hockey, but Big Ten hockey, you know, that's newer in terms of college hockey. The CCHA split up, so I think this is great for the Big Ten.
I totally agree with you. A great national matchup, I guess, national TV matchup, I guess, also for Mr. Danton Cole, who takes over in his first year for the Michigan State hockey team. Now, the Gophers announced on their website that they will play Ohio State in basketball that same day. Michigan State opens the year with an exhibition game against University of Toronto on my birthday, October 7th at Munn Ice Arena, then begins the season at Bowling Green on October 13th and will host the Falcons the next night in East Lansing. Former Michigan State golfer Lindsay McPherson won the Michigan PGA Women's Open this week. How about that? Held at Crystal Mountain Resort in Mountain Ridge. McPherson carded a 71, a 68, and a 69, scores that I can only hope to shoot up this weekend. That is a total of 208 to finish 8 under par to beat Marissa Chow by one stroke. That is how close it was. McPherson's 17 birdies, 5 more than anyone else in the field, carried her to the dub. Congratulations to Lindsay McPherson on that incredible honor. Justin Ingram, who is the son of Hall of Fame Lansing Community College basketball coach Mike Ingram, he was officially named the director of basketball operations at Toledo yesterday. He joins the Rocket staff after making his coaching debut as an assistant coach for Steve Ernst at Division III Olivet College last season. Justin Ingram starred at the University of Toledo as a player from 03 to 07. He was actually inducted into the school's Varsity T Hall of Fame 3 years ago. He was the Mid-American Conference Freshman of the Year in 04 and ranks tied for 10th on the school's career scoring list. Get this. This is a crazy story. You got it. Just get this story, folks. Prized Texas recruit, Mohamed Bamba, he's a basketball player, was accused by his older brother in a rambling, profanity-laden Facebook video yesterday of having accepted cash and gifts from a financial advisor in Michigan. Now, Ibrahim Johnson is the brother of Mohamed Bamba. Now, Ibrahim Johnson, a 6'7" forward whose basketball career ended at D2 Montevallo, posted the 22-minute video on Wednesday afternoon, shirtless and sitting poolside. Johnson alleged that Bamba accepted $200 a week in cash, vacations and gifts, including a California king-size bed from a man by the name of Greer Love, who is a vice president at Huron Capital. Love has degrees, get this, from Indiana and the University of Michigan, and previously worked at Watch Hill Partners, an investment bank in New York, according to his Huron Capital bio. We'll have more on that story in just a moment, and you'll get to hear a minute of what Ibrahim Johnson had to say concerning his brother, Mohamed Bamba, one of the top high school basketball recruits in the nation, and his brother, his little brother, accepting gifts from Greer Love. We'll double back to that story in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Another juicy story here. According to ESPN, Kentucky Wildcats coach, basketball coach John Calipari has reached out to the New York Knicks through intermediaries to express interest in the team's vacant president of basketball operations role. The Knicks, who parted ways with Phil Jackson on Wednesday, do not have interest in Calipari at the moment, according to sources. Now, this morning, Calipari again denied contacting the Knicks during a phone interview on ESPN Radio's Mike and Mike. Quote, "There is no one on my behalf who called the Knicks. There might be a college coach who inquired, but it wasn't me. I called my wife and asked, was it you?" End quote. We'll have more on that story in just a moment as well. How about the Detroit Tigers, who scored 6 runs in the first 4 innings, supporting Michael Fulmer to cruise to a 7-3 afternoon win in the rubber game of a 3-game series Thursday at Comerica Park. The Tigers improved to 18-12 against American League Central opponents. They are 17-31 outside of their division. They won a series for the first time since sweeping the White Sox, Chicago, on June 2nd to the 4th. The Royals lost a series for the first time since the end of May. Now, the homestand continues with a visit from the Cleveland Indians for a 4-game, 3-day weekend series. Anibal Sanchez, who has had 2 encouraging starts since his return from AAA Toledo, he will start tonight's series opener. 7:10 p.m. is the first pitch. And a really troubling story here concerning one of the biggest names in the world of tennis, that being Venus Williams. Williams is being sued by the family of a man who died after an accident involving the tennis star. Michael Stanger, attorney for Linda Barson, said on Good Morning America today that the family will file suit against the tennis star over the accident that left Jerome Barson, who was 78 years old, with head injuries. Barson died 2 weeks after the crash. Stanger said the family also is trying to get police to release evidence in the incident, which they say has not been handed over to them. Now, according to the police report filed by police in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, after the accident on June 9th, Williams's 2010 Toyota Sequoia SUV darted into an intersection in Palm Beach Gardens near her residence. The other driver, identified as Linda Barson, said she could not stop her 2016 Hyundai Accent in time and hit Williams's car. Barson's husband, Jerome Barson, was a passenger in her car. Linda was also injured. What a story there. And I can only imagine what the family, the Barsons, are going through, as well as what Venus is going through during this troubling time. All right, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can go to Facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. It's time to start the show.
This guy Greg came in, like last time it was my first time meeting him and so on and so forth. I thought he was cool, you know. My brother was like, he's real resourceful, helpful, and da-da-da-da. And not to mention, he was like, yo, Abe, not to mention, you know, this is the guy that's been giving me all this nice stuff all along. As I was saying, so like, this guy Greer, right? You gotta talk about this guy Greer. So he came in, right? And I thought he was cool. Like, he's a wolf in sheep clothing, white guy, nasty. You can see the devil in his eyes. Like, you can see the nastiness in his eyes. He came in, he basically divided and conquered me and my brother. Before, me and my brother was inseparable. That's my little man. He was my little man, at least. Before, when he was my little brother, he was my little man. Did everything together, go this place, do this, have fun, you know? Then he came along and he basically showcased my weakness, in a sense, to my little brother and showed him why I wasn't good for business. Long story short, I wasn't good for business. And I didn't even realize it was going on. It was like, you know, he did things like, he took us on a vacation to, Orlando. In Orlando, we met these NBA executives and stuff, and he told us, like, yo, these are just our friends. They're not even... But the whole time, they were sizing me up as a business, you know, as a, like, business-wise, they were sizing me up, trying to take every, like, you know, trying to do the nasty from me, you know?
And that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard was the voice of a man by the name of Ibrahim Johnson, who is the brother of five-star Texas commit on the basketball court, Muhammad Bamba. The brother of Bamba. How cruel is that? How cruel is this, folks? And, you know, I didn't even know about this story until after the Current Sports team and I finished covering last night's Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, which I'm going to get to in just a second. You'll get to hear from Lou Rawls, Tum Naren Jr. of the MSU men's hoop team, as well as Aaron Harris. Many people wondering, what is Aaron up to now? His season, his senior season, ending earlier than expected due to a season-ending knee injury last year. What's Aaron trying to do now? Is he still trying to chase the pro basketball dream? Well, we will answer that question for you with those two chats. But I want to address this story because after we left Aim High out in Diamonddale, Michigan, Engineer Isaac Constance, we rode together along with Current Sports intern Karina Garcia and Jacob Herbert, who's engineering, doing a fantastic job for us today. We all attended last night's Moneyball League. But we're walking out of the building, and Isaac says, Al, have you seen this story concerning this recruit whose brother put him on blast? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. But this is the story he's talking about. Ibrahim Johnson posting a 22-minute Facebook Live video on Monday, actually, in which he repeated the phrase, quote, long story short, about a dozen times. 22 minutes? Yeah, it's not a long story short, brother. But anyway, he goes on to put his younger brother, Muhammad Bamba, on blast, saying that Bamba received, amongst other things, shoes, vacations, dental work, a television, a $200 per week allowance, and a credit card bill payment. Or I should say payments, plural. From Greer Love, who is a vice president at a investment firm that is based right here in the great state of Michigan. Crazy, right? Bamba is the number two recruit in the class of 2017. And again, I want everybody out there to take this story with a huge truckload of salt, because we are just seeing, in a hearing, I should say, one side of it when it comes to Johnson. And you have to sit back and say, my goodness, this is his brother. This is his older brother. This is Muhammad Bamba's older brother that's putting him on blast and trying to get him in trouble before he plays college basketball and possibly makes his professional hoop dreams come true. Why, oh why, you ask? Well, that was my big question as well. And the reason is because Ibrahim Johnson You know, the reason why he ratted out his brother is because he's a bit salty right now. Because Bamba allegedly reneged on an offer to make his older brother his agent following his time at Texas. Johnson said that he intended on following his younger brother to whatever school he chose to enroll in graduate school. From there, he hoped to complete a degree and obtain the necessary certification required to become an NBA agent, specifically the agent of his younger brother, who's pretty good at this basketball thing. According to Johnson, Bamba backed out of the plan 3 days before he departed for Texas. Johnson claims that Greer Love told him, quote, "I've already got agents lined up for you, brother," end quote. And that his brother told him to, quote, "stay on the block," end quote. Basically saying, bro, I don't want you as my agent, man. I'm good. I'm chill over here. And then older brother was like, oh, you're not going to do me like this. This is like a movie. This is like some, actually, it's not even like a movie. This is like a reality TV show. This is something you would see on a reality television show. Crazy. Now, when it comes to Greer Love, he has reportedly been a mentor to Bamba since he was 10 years old. The investor runs an academic and athletic-focused mentorship program for Harlem Elementary School, PS-208, which Bamba attended while growing up. And he also goes on to say, Ibrahim Johnson, the older brother, goes on to say they went on a trip, a vacation trip to Orlando, and there were NBA executives out there during that vacation who lobbied for Bamba to attend certain schools. And during that meeting, Greer basically tried to put Johnson on blast and say that this is why your older brother should not be managing you as an agent. So, again, we're only seeing one side of this, but it's just a crazy story I want to pass along to you all because I'm curious to see how the NCAA is going to go about these claims, if you will. But what a story, though. I mean, this is blood. Blood is thicker than water, right? So this is blood coming out and saying, bro, you were wrong, and now I'm going to try to ruin your future. Oh, boy. Cruel world we live in, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Later on this hour, we are also going to address another juicy story in the world of college basketball, and that concerns John Calipari, who is such an intriguing figure on multiple levels as the head coach of the University Kentucky, at Kentucky. And, you know, you look at things and how this is playing out. First off, the Kentucky Wildcats basketball coach John Calipari, it was reported that he reached out to the New York Knicks when it comes to that open vacancy as Phil Jackson was let go or mutually departed from the Knicks organization as team president. It was reported out there via ESPN, according to their sources, that Coach Cal reached out to the Knicks through other people to express interest in that vacant role. Coach Cal has came out and said, I didn't do it. I don't know what you are talking about. That is blasphemous. He actually tweeted, because that's how we make official statements now, right? And Coach Cal, he also is currently in Egypt coaching the U.S. team at the FIBA U19 Basketball World Cup. Coach Cal tweeted out, this was yesterday last night at 11:02 p.m. Quote, "No one has contacted the Knicks on my behalf. I am the coach at Kentucky and will be for a long time." So him coming out and making that statement, I don't think that Coach Cal is going to be the guy to take over that role now. And I think the reason that Coach Cal came out and probably said this, again, it's all speculation here, it's sports talk radio. But if I had to just look at this and try and analyze the situation, if Coach Cal did reach out to the Knicks, let's say he did, and has now tweeted this, and the fact that ESPN is saying that right now they are not interested in Coach Calipari, it makes it look like this. Coach Cal reached out, got word that the Knicks are not interested in Coach Cal. And then once the story got leaked out, He came out and said, you know what? I didn't reach out to him in the first place. I didn't contact them in the first place. I don't want that gig. May have been a different story if the Knicks considered Coach Cal. But I think he's happy at Kentucky. I mean, he's the man out there. He is a national championship competitor every single year. He is known for getting the one and done athletes. Heck, there was an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary that actually documented Coach Cal and the what and how he's been able to work his way up from the bottom up in the world of college basketball to become the head coach at Kentucky. It even profiled the whole scandal with Derrick Rose at Memphis. But Coach Cal is winning. He's had immense success at Kentucky. He's getting paid well. Why would you go to the Knicks in the first place? The Knicks, one of the sorriest franchises in all of professional sports. That job is not appealing whatsoever. The only appeal for that New York Knicks job is that it comes with a lot of spotlight. You know, you're in New York. New York, the city that never sleeps. That's the only appeal. When it comes to the franchise in the win and loss column, I don't need to go on a rant there. But I'll elaborate more on that story later on this hour. I want to bring up the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am yesterday in Diamonddale, Michigan at AIM High Sports Complex. Jacob, it was your first time going there. And, you know, it's funny because we were having a conversation on the sidelines as the games were going. First off, this event has blown up to I didn't see this coming when it came to the Moneyball League. I tell you that. When it first started, when we first started covering it, I should say, I didn't see it getting to the point and to the place where it is now. It kind of reminds me now of like the N1 mixtape tour. For many of out there listening who don't know what the heck I'm talking about, the N1 mixtape tour was basically a bunch of street ballers who toured the country. ESPN did a documentary style series on them. And they toured the country, and they were like the New Age Harlem Globetrotters at one point. And they had these fancy names like Hot Sauce and The Professor. And they would do these tricks while out in the court, while also competing somewhat when it came to the local talent in that respective city on the tour. Very cool stuff. But there was so much hoopla surrounded around it. I remember going to blacktop courts and playing as I was growing up. And I actually saw them in person. My mom got me tickets to go check out the N1 mixtape tour. And the Escalade, got a chance to meet the Escalade at the time, who was, he has since passed away. Rest in peace, Escalade. But that was a big moment in my youth, you know, because everybody wanted to be like Hot Sauce or The Professor, you know, balling out in the street ball course. And, you know, put the basketball between your shirt and your body and throw it, you know, throw it around your body and do tricks and go between the legs. It was a phenomenon. And I feel like now the Moneyball League has become like that for Mid-Michigan. I mean, you get to see talent from all levels, from high school, college, and pros. I mean, Jacob, your first time going, or covering it, I should say, last night. I mean, what were your impressions last night?
I mean, it wasn't even my first time covering. It was my first time going altogether.
Period, right?
And obviously, you know, Miles Bridges and all the MSU players, that's obviously the initial draw, right? You could see those stars up close and personal. And yeah, I've said countless times on the show, I'm not really much of a basketball fan, but honestly, I'm starting to become more of one. But just seeing, and I know this is such a cliche to say this because obviously they're athletes, but those guys are athletes. And watching them play up close and personal, I mean, Xavier Tillman almost ran me over yesterday.
Funny story with that, right?
Chasing for a loose ball. But it's incredible to watch. I mean, when we were talking yesterday, I was telling you one of the reasons I'm such a big hockey fan is because the finesse, the skating. To be quite frank, I think it's just beautiful to watch those guys skate like that. Same thing with basketball. I mean, watching Cassius Winston out there, he's so shifty and crafty. I don't know the right ways to describe it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a couple kids from LCC watching out there who were, I mean, it's not just the MSU guys is what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
Everyone in this tournament is incredibly talented, and it was super fun to watch.
And again, I love how Desmond also highlights women's basketball as well. They always have the women's games sandwiched in between the men so that you don't lose the crowd, which I think is brilliant. But yeah, I mean, and again, I want to preface it by saying this. It's the Summer League, so there's not a lot of defense being played. And I think the big draw is we love to see...
The ladies
dunks.
Played some defense.
Oh, I will say
Remember
the ladies
game?
Did play
they
defense.
Played D.
That really shocked me. The ladies got out there, and they were really getting at it on both sides of the floor. But You know, the big draw is, you know, we love to see Miles Bridges go up for a high-flying dunk. Or we just love to see that in general. So there's a lot of offense. There's a lot of scoring. And as fans, as hoop fans, we love to watch that. And we always love watching Miles take off, even during warm-ups. I mean, he's throwing down double pumps, behind his back slams. It was crazy. But I want to roll in two bites right now. One coming from, you know what, let's go with the Aaron Harris bite first, Jacob, because Aaron Harris is a player who has so much potential in his senior year. And, you know, he goes down in the Big Ten season on the road, I believe it was at Purdue, injures his knee, a season-ending knee injury, entered his senior year far too early, and that's it for his MSU basketball career. Aaron was in the crowd, actually had his little, looked like a Canon, you know, camera with him, you know, taking photos, you know, while there and, you know, mingling with his former teammates. And I had to catch up with Aaron and ask him what this whole process has been like for him, what the recovery has been like since that moment where his MSU senior year was cut so short. And I had to ask him whether or not he still has professional basketball on his mind and if he still wants to chase it. And here is how that chat went.
Hey, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, the time's passing by. I got other stuff I like to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not overly anxious, but I am anxious. I've been playing basketball since I was three, so, you know, I want to keep playing. I want to be on the court working out. Sometimes do a little bit too much, moving around too much. Got to be patient with it. So I'm good. Just patience is one of the best things to learn, so I'm learning now. I'm being forced to.
Aaron, now, I mean, I know you can't go all out and play a full game, right? But at the same time, there's other things you can do to kind of keep yourself getting better basketball-wise. What are those things?
Just spot-up shots, ball handling, stationary ball handling. Just continuing to do my rehab, work on my lower body strength. You know what I'm saying? After I get better, I'm going to just continue to do my rehab. It's just great for me. Continue to lift upper body. You know, just improve myself in any way that I can. Eat right, all that stuff.
It's got to be eating you up, though, right?
Definitely. I mean, but, you know, challenges, when it's a challenge, life gives you challenges. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a human being. I got a challenge. I got to handle it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't the first one to go through it. Good.
Have you talked to any NBA teams at all or any NBA personnel as far as you trying to make that next leap?
Not directly. Not anybody, like, in a high position. But I've gotten word that, you know, there's teams that are very interested in me. I got an agent now, Spring Creek Management Group. I'm with those guys out of Chicago. So, you know, we're figuring everything out. You know what I'm saying? I'll definitely have some opportunities coming up.
So what's the timeline? You'll be fully recovered in December. When do you think those workouts will happen then?
I should be 100% in August. So I should be able to do court workouts by then. And then they don't want to clear me until I like 120%. You know what I'm saying? So I can make sure I'm good. So around that time, I might, you know, try to go overseas halfway through the overseas season. But who knows when they'll clear me, how good I look, you know what I'm saying? It's all about timing and how healthy I am. But the highest priority is to make sure my leg is good. So if it's not ready, I'm not ready. I'll just wait till next season, you know what I'm saying? So we're good.
Until then, will you still be in East Lansing?
Yeah, I'll be here until December, the end of December. End of the first semester, I'll be here.
What's it like? What advice do you give to the young studs coming in? And a lot of hype surrounded around this upcoming MSU basketball season. What are you telling this team?
Just start off early doing the right things. You know what I'm saying? You got people telling you the right things. You know, you got to live your life and you got to make your mistakes. But, you know, try to do all the things right as early as possible, school-wise, off the court-wise, basketball-wise. Listen to the coaches. You know, they know what they're doing. To get you to success in college so that you can get to the next level. Play the team game because it's going to do better for you individually in the long run.
Aaron Harris, former Michigan State guard, commenting on the future of his basketball career. Aaron says that he will be fully recovered probably around August. He wants to make sure he's not just 100%, though. 120% is how we put it, as you just heard in that snippet. And he feels as though he'll be fully ready by December. He's got an agent out of Chicago, and he's looking forward to working out with some NBA teams after that. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will roll in the swap meet with James Moore. James tells yet another compelling story, one that involves a car accident that he was involved in about 5 to 6 years ago. You don't want to miss this. Trust me. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sport. That's some Kanye West for you. Jacob, Jay-Z dropped an album last night. But you know what? I'm kind of salty because I'm an Apple Music guy. I don't have Tidal. I can't listen to it. Have you heard it?
No, because I'm an Apple Music guy too. I just recently switched to Apple Music actually, and I love it because I have all my music in one spot. I used to do Spotify, but
right.
It was the same thing with Pablo when Kanye put out Pablo, Beyonce's new album too.
Exactly.
I don't know. Tidal is just killing me.
Yeah, it's killing me as well. I'm going to listen to it. I know I've never tried the free trial, so I may just have to try the free trial, listen to the album, and then get out. You know what I mean?
That's what I did with Pablo, so yeah, I feel
okay,
that.
Okay, so you've already used your free trial then.
Yeah,
I haven't used mine yet, so I'll probably use it for Jay-Z's new album, but I'm hearing some good things about it. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and each and every Friday, we love to roll in the swap meet with James Moore, former MSU football great and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. Each and every week, James tackles a topic that is relevant to the sports world today, or just a topic that happens to be on his mind and his heart during that week. And James felt compelled to share with you all a very touching story. A car accident that he suffered about 5 years ago that I don't want to spoil it. I just want you guys to listen right now and take it all in. Let's take it away right now. The swap meet with James Moore.
Wow. Speaking with a purpose.
That's great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'd be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Welcome to the SWAT meet with my man James Moore, who is live here in Studio S with us. And we have another deep one, a very honest one coming right to your ear. You know, I was sitting back this week, actually on Wednesday night, and you guys know that I am a huge fan of the show HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. Compelling journalism, many in-depth storytelling that you don't normally get on a weekly and even monthly basis. But Bryant does a great job. He has an incredible news team. And there was one story that really caught my attention. And it was actually centered on a man by the name of, one of the stories was centered on a man by the name of Jeff Glassbrenner. Now, Jeff is an amputee who recently added climbing Mount Everest on his impressive list of feats. He is absent of one leg. And it's so interesting because Jeff has gone on to win a gold medal at the Olympic level in wheelchair basketball. He has also gone on to participate in a triathlon, and now he adds climbing Mount Everest to his list of incredible accomplishments. But one part of the story from Jeff Glassbrenner that really got me was when he talked about the day the accident happened that led to his lost leg. He lived on a farm with his family. And one day while cutting hay out in the field with a tractor with his father, what normally happens with tractors is if something gets caught in the machine, you got to go clear it out, right? Well, a rock got into the tractor and Jeff's father directed him to go clean it out. Jeff didn't realize that his son was still cleaning out the tractor and restarted it while his son, Jeff, was still under there. And Jeff at the time is about 8 or 9 years old. The machine starts up and his leg got caught. And you can imagine what happened after that. As the story goes along, there was one part that really got Jeff into tears. And Jeff talked about when, well, I should say every time he would try and bring up the story to try and provide some closure for his father, who felt guilty of the situation when it happened. I mean, this is years later, and when Jeff is a grown man, and he would always bring it up time after time. Hey, Dad, I want to talk about that moment. I want to talk about it. And his dad would just shut him down and say, you know what? I don't want to talk about that moment. It's too emotional for me. Well, Jeff and his father never got the chance to have that conversation, and Jeff believes that his dad went to the grave feeling guilty of that situation that led to a lost leg for his son. Went to the grave feeling guilty, feeling as though he was responsible for it. And I want to invite James to the show right now, because James, you have a story that is a bit similar to that of Jeff Glassbrenner's. Could you mind sharing that?
Yeah, no, thank you. Once again, first of all, let me thank you, Al, and WKAR for having the swap meet here. Oh, yeah, this story starts back. It was back in March. March of 2011. I was getting off work, driving home by myself. As a matter of fact, Michigan State was playing in the March Madness Sweet 16 game that day, driving home. And I'm driving down the street and going about 50 miles an hour, which is the speed limit. And all of a sudden, bam, a car turned in front of me. This is what happened. A car turned in front of me and I T-boned a car. I mean, I'm spinning and I get out my car and I grab my neck and, you know, I'm like, whoa. And then I have employees that are in front of me and behind me. They all come out and help, and then the ambulance coming. And I'm laying on the stretcher, and I'm hearing parents, my baby, you know, screaming, you know, my baby, my babies, you know. So I get to the hospital, and, you know, I ended up having a cracked vertebrae in my neck. My C7 vertebrae was cracked, and my wife comes to the hospital, and we, you know, we go home later on that night. And she comes and tells me that next morning that Zeke passed away. It was 5 kids in the car that turned in front of me, and I T-boned them, okay? I was coming up a hill at the light. I had the green light. I T-boned them. No fault of mine at all. A couple days later, I'm laying in bed, and my phone rings, and I say hello, and a voice, a lady, says, "May I speak to James Moore?" And I said, "Speaking." And she said, "Well, this is Debbie Stabenak," was his last name. Zeke was a young man that passed away. And she says, "I'm just calling to check on you and see how you're doing." And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm fine. You can talk to me. How are you doing? And she said, "We're fine. You know, God has got us in his hands. We are blessed. And, you know, we just want to make sure that you're okay." And I said, "You know what, I'm fine. You know, you can talk to me and we can talk and conversate. You know, I just want to know how you guys are doing." And then I inquired about the memorial service. And she's like, "We would love for you to come, you know." So my wife and I end up going. I'm in a harness now, neck collar. And, of course, when we get there, the church is packed. I mean, packed. They walk us right down the middle of the aisle, and then all eyes, because, you know, of course, I'm in the neck collar. And they take us back with the family. We walk in there, and there's nothing but love. You know, the parents, the brothers, the sisters, they're all just, "How are you, James? How are you?" You know, showing love. And I am like, wow, just overwhelmed with, I don't even know what I don't want to say joy, but you know, because of the whole scenario. So we end up walking out hand in hand and sitting down. We sit with the family and we go through the memorial service. And the youth minister that was doing the service said, something that really triggered everything. He was talking to the students. It was over 300 kids there. And he was talking to the kids and saying, you know, Zeke was a good kid. Zeke was a godly kid. Zeke loved the Lord. And he said, there's only one way that you can see him again. And that is by giving yourself to the Lord. 250 kids got up and gave themselves to the Lord that night. That was my confirmation, my USA, my sense of peace that God has plans for everything. Tough, really tough. You know, a year later, we did an article. The family and I got together, and you just looked it up. And
yeah, there's an article written by the Cincinnati Inquirer. It's entitled, Two Families Who Refuse to Let Tragedy Divide Them, dated December 29th, 2012. It's online, and there's a picture of you, James, with the family, and a write-up about what happened and how both the Moore and the Stabenak family came together in light of these unfortunate events. And I had no idea, James, you actually walked in and said, Al, I have something on my heart right now that I've been thinking about a lot, and it stems from this situation. And you actually went through a period of depression. Am I right after this?
Oh, of course. Of course, yeah. It was tough because I love kids. You know how I am with kids. I referee basketball. I coach football. I've worked with school districts for 20-plus years. I love kids.
That's what the SWAP Impact is
all
about, right?
That's what the SWAP Impact is
all about. Youth football
camps
and sports camps, yeah.
So that was a major blow. You know, like I said, I think of Zeke all the time, you know, and the family. I went through a major sense of depression, over a period. My wife really helped me get through it.
Like, what exactly happened when you were feeling down and depressed? I mean, how did you get over that? And what specifically was going on in your mind at that moment, James?
Feeling guilty, feeling like, wow, I took a kid's life. You know, that's what I was saying out to myself in my head. And what allowed me to fight through that was the Lord. God, asking God to give me the strength to get through this. When I lost my mother in 08, that was a major thing too. But this was right close there when you have, you feel that you've done something wrong. You feel that you've taken a kid, which I didn't. But that's during that depression and that state of mind I was at, that's how I felt. And it finally snapped when, you know, I kept getting phone calls from the family, from the father. Wow, we can get through this together. We can get through this together. There's no blaming, pointing the finger. And it really, that's what really helped me overcome that depression, was knowing that the family was not blaming me for anything. And knowing that God had everything in his hands, everything that goes on with us, he has it planned out, and everything happens for a reason. And I would always think back to seeing those 250 kids walk up to the pulpit that day and saying, okay, we have one life that's gone, but that just saved 250. 100, 50, 25. What I'm saying is, we don't know how many of those are going to, you know, be saved by that day. But if it's one or two saved, it's worth it. So it was a process. It was a process. And I still have my days now. Like this week when I've been thinking about it and I walked into the studio today. I'm like, I text you earlier while you were in your staff meeting, not knowing what we were going to talk about on the SWAP meet today. Because the SWAP meet is all about going with the heart and keeping it real.
And swapping out that negative energy, right, for positive energy.
Exactly.
And in many ways, you talking about this, James, I know serves as a bit of therapy for you. For anyone out there listening, just one question for you before we close this out. For anybody out there listening who feels as though they are guilty or in the wrong for something that in reality was totally out of their hands, what would you say to that person, James?
You know what? You would have to just pray about it, put it in God's hands, ask God to give you the strength, and revert back to one thing. Love wins.
Love wins. Thank you so much, James, for sharing yet another vulnerable side of who you are. We really appreciate that. And every week you come on and you do this, my man, you are impacting. Talk about swap impact, right? You are impacting many, and you don't even know it, my man. Just wanted to let you know that.
Appreciate you, Al, man. And, hey, that's what swap meet's all about.
The swap meet with James Moore. Have a great holiday, ladies and gents. You know, Jacob, what's so eerie about that segment? You know, we pre-record the swap meet with James Moore each and every Thursday after that day's current sports radio show. And if you look at our very last quick hit headliner, it was about Venus Williams, right? Who was involved in a car accident in which one man died. We didn't plan on you know, piggybacking off of that really unsettling story, but it's just amazing to me how every single week when James decides to open up about something, you know, in his past that is troubling, there seems to be a story that is always relevant that for that week's swap meet. But, I couldn't help but think when he was telling that story about the car accident he was involved in Ohio, in which he, you know, sadly, in that accident, a young man's life was taken. You have a similar situation that is taking place when it comes to women's tennis star Venus Williams. All right, we have under 5 minutes left in today's final show before the July 4th holiday. So you guys know we love to close out each and every week of current sports by reflecting on the week that has been here on the show and beyond. We call it Reflection Friday. For me, I just have one moment, Jacob. We've had a great week, by the way. We had Steve Fittimore on yesterday to talk about the commitment of Brandon Johns to go to U of M. You know, James Moore with yet another great segment. But you know what? There's a story I want to bring up that a lot of people don't know about. Heck, I mean, we were chatting before the show, Jacob, and you had no idea that this story was being produced by ESPN. But it's about a young man who was actually tortured. Football player for a D3 school who was tortured due to one teammate's idiotic choices and decisions. Can we play the trailer of it?
Running today is just really not the same as what it used to be. Left legs feels heavier, you know, harder to move. Everything from my knee all the way up to my hip is just pain all the time. Just taking it day by day and just kind of trying to get back to where I used to be. And moving past all the bad that I went through.
How awful and gruesome.
It was as bad as a horror film.
You're calling, homie? Look, it's your boy.
Torture.
Stupid.
They were gloating.
You know the wrong one, please.
Two University of Rochester students reported missing.
They started shooting everywhere.
They said, we don't want money, we want blood.
This is something that you only see on TV, but this was real life. How do I survive?
Couldn't believe it when I saw it, Jacob, because, you know, you and I talked before the show, ESPN doing yet another job of riveting journalism, a story that we didn't even know about. It will be premiering. The video of that story will be premiering on Sunday, I believe. The article is already up on ESPN's website right now. It is a story that, unlike any other sports story I've ever seen in my life. But check it out. I don't know if a lot of people even know about the story, but check it out. Compelling stuff. So, Jacob, for you, you got a chance to... Well, we chatted with many people this week. Baba Pisa, who's going into the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame. We had Lee Vickers on, youth football coach, to discuss youth recruiting. What has been your favorite moment either here on Current Sports or favorite sports story of the week?
I think my favorite moment for this week was yesterday when we talked about Brandon Johns with his former coach, Steve Fenimore. And I think he brought up some pretty interesting points, including... the social media criticism that this kid is getting from fans who obviously wanted him to attend Michigan State. But, I mean, just the way he's handled it. And at the same time, I mean, we've got to remember that this kid is 17 years old.
Exactly. I think that's the key here, right?
That's the key here. And for Spartan fans, it's unfortunate that he didn't come here. But this team is going to be fine without him next year.
Without a doubt. They're already national championship favorites. And again, we get caught up in the wins and losses in our own selfish fandom.
And part of it, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but part of it's obviously the rivalry. I mean, he's going to Michigan.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's the rivalry. I mean, he lives here in East Lansing, and he's going to the rival school of Michigan State University. So Steve Fenimore bringing up a ton of great points. Well, we're out of time. Ladies and gents, we want to thank every guest that has been a part of Current Sports this week. James Moore, Baba Pisa, Lee Vickers, Steve Fenimore. We'll be back at it next week, Wednesday. Have a safe July 4th holiday. And as always, be easy, people.